You know, one thing that, like, me personally, that I've learned about God is that he really loves us. Anybody feel the same way? He's really into us also. If you look at it, if you really think about God, he creates this big earth with grass, trees, animals, all these different things, plants, vegetables, you know, fruit. And then he gives it to man. He said, "You have dominion over this." That's pretty amazing. That God would create all this, then give it to man. I'm like, wow. You know, you got God who is eternal, apple of God's eye. If you really think about it, it's all about man. God is really into you. He created us. And it's like we are his like showpiece. He wants to show us off. And he has a job for us to do. But we all know what happened, right? Adam ate the fruit. You know, he sinned. But look how the Bible describes what happened after he sinned. Look in your handout. There's some verses in here, right on the inside. The first one we're going to look at is Romans 7, verse 5. It should be the first one. It says, "For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit of death." Now, if you look at that, man was created to have dominion. Now something has dominion over him. It says that he's controlled by the sinful nature. So the sinful nature just takes man and do whatever it wants to do with him. So man is being controlled now. That's totally out of line. And now not only is he being controlled, but he's bearing fruit of death. Man has become a species that now bears fruit of death. Death fruit. What is that about? You know? I can say that I don't think it was supposed to go that way. Man was not supposed to be a bearer of fruit of death, but it happened. So what did God do? He sent his son, right? He sent his son to die for our sins. And Christ died willingly. One old preacher said that he died without fighting. He died, I'm doing that because that's what he did when he was preaching. He said he died without scuffling. And this man was about 7 years old. He was preaching. Of course, he said it in a different way with an organ behind him. And he was tuning up. It was very encouraging, though. Here this man is 7 years old, and what gets him excited is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died willingly for us. So now, all right, man, God creates earth, gives it to man. Man sins, he falls, now he bears fruit of death. God sends Jesus. Jesus dies for our sins. Now look how Paul describes our relationship now. How we can now come out of that situation of bearing fruit for death. Look at Romans 6:3-5. It says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father," now watch this, this is very important, "we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." Amen. Now, this is describing a resurrection, right? And we all want to be resurrected one day, right? You know, out of the ground, you know, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, right? The dead in Christ shall rise, right? We all want to be resurrected. You know, there's a song about it, actually, you know. I think y'all know there's one glad morning When this life is over, anybody know that? I'll fly away. You know that, Wanda? And we all want to fly away, right? We all want to go to heaven, right? We all want to be with the Lord forever. We all want that. We all want to be resurrected, but this is not the resurrection that it's talking about. This is a different resurrection. He said, just as Christ was raised from the dead, you too may live a new life. This is a resurrection right here on earth, where you come out of the old life and you live a new life. Think about what's greater. Okay, God could definitely raise you from the dead. Right? And he will do that. Imagine this, a man who can't love his wife. Now he can love his wife. A man who can't forgive his enemies. Now he can forgive his enemies. That's a resurrection right there. Going from the old life to a new life here on earth. It's like God's main focus, or put it like this. God's goal is not just to resurrect us to heaven, but that Christ may be resurrected on earth in you. And this is the resurrection of the new life in you on earth. Because remember, man had a certain position of dominion on earth. So it's not just taking man from earth to heaven, but it's so man on earth can now live the way he was supposed to live. And this is the new life that God wants us to live. This is the resurrection that we have to shoot for. So then, out of this new life comes fruit. We become bearers of fruit, of life this time, instead of fruit of death. Look what Jesus says to his disciples in John 15, 16. It should be in your program. This is interesting. He says, you did not choose me. Wait a minute. I'm going to read it. Yeah. All right. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So there's a switch here. First, man is a bearer of fruit of death, right? Controlled by the sinful nature. Jesus said, I appointed you to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. This is a different type of fruit. So there's a switch here. Man goes from bearing fruit of death to bearing fruit of life. This is the process of redemption. We got to understand that redemption is a process. God saved you, but he don't take you to heaven right away. He puts his spirit inside of you so you can live on this earth. So you can walk and live in the new life on earth. This is the redemption of man. So now I guess the question is, how do I bear fruit? How do I now live a new life? For that, I think we got to look at John 15, 1 and 2. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it would be even more fruitful. So that word prune is really purge. It's really a Greek word, katharo. But it's fitting right here because in order to purge a tree, you have to prune it. You know, you know, it's really, the word is like cleanse, purify. So if you bear fruit, he said, I'll purify you. So keep that in mind. There's a purification. In verse 5, look at this. It says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So now, he said, you have to remain in me. So there's a purging and there's a remaining. And I think the two go hand in hand. But he sheds more light on what it means to remain in him. Look at verse 9. He said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Now the remaining in Christ is the remaining in his love. After this, he tells them to love one another. So the remaining in Christ is the remaining in love. And the remaining in love is the loving of one another. Like, for instance. So, okay, look at it like this. The purging and the remaining go hand in hand. Like, you can say, you know, man, I want to love the brothers. I finally see it. You know, Jesus says, love each other. So now I want to do it. So now, Ted, come love me. I'm sick. I'm hurting. Help me out. Right? Now, things are going good. He's helping me. It's going good. Oh, thank you, brother. You're just taking good care of me. You're holding me up. You're holding me up. Come on, walk with me. You're holding me up. You know, I'm hurting. You know, Ted, I've just been going through some things, man. You know, and I'm just glad you're here. And, you know, so things are going good, right? He's loving me. Now, what happens when I start to do this to Ted? Right. See, exactly. And that's a natural response. Once I start to poke him, it's a temptation now not to remain in love. Because now, okay, you ever been hurt by somebody that you truly love? Man, that's the worst type of hurt. You shared everything with this person. You care for them. You really tried to help them. And all of a sudden they start to poke you. The temptation here is now to take off love and start to, I can't believe it. You poke me after what I did for you? Or let me just put it like this. This is me right here, and I discovered this about myself. This is what I do when I'm poked. It's just, I got a lot of pride in me, a lot of pride, and it comes up. I say this inside. It's a voice. How dare you? How dare you poke me? Do you know who I am? Do you do what I do? Have you done half the things that I do? How dare you poke me? So then evil thoughts start to come up. I'm on revenge now. I want to do to you what you did to me. Now I'm taking off love. I'm not abiding in love. I'm taking it off. Because in loving one another, there has to be an abiding. So now I'm taking it off. Now I'm putting on other things. I'm putting on judgment. Look at you. You're not as good as me. How dare you poke me? You really are going nowhere. You're nothing. You can't poke me. That's what happens. Poked by somebody we love. Poked by somebody we care for. You know. You want to learn how to abide in love? Go to Bible studies. Go to Bible studies, right? You know, one brother has an opinion. Another brother has an opinion. They don't agree with each other. Man, you know, when you study the Bible a lot, and then you come to a Bible study, your mind is sort of already made up, right? So then when someone have a difference of opinion, you're like, what? You know, it really pokes you. But this is the abiding. And also, this is the purging, right? Because there's a purging and there's an abiding. And I think the two go hand in hand. Because they're touching something on you that's there. And you can say all you want that they made you think those evil thoughts, but they didn't. They just revealed something in you. And then when they poke you, then all that evil stuff in you start to come out. And right here, so you got to make the decision. Listen to this. If you judge them, you're out of line. If you judge yourself, you're right in line. Because you have to look at yourself. You can't say this person made me evil. Had they not poked me, I wouldn't be thinking these evil thoughts about them. You can't say that. They just revealed what was in you. See, what we want to say sometimes is, Lord, purge them. Purge them. Lord, if you just purge this person, that person, you know, and this person, I'll be all right. Just purge everybody so I can live a good life. It's not like that. He said, if you bear fruit, and people who bear fruit, you know, are people who get purged. You know, I'm bearing fruit. All of a sudden, I get poked. Now God has to cut off something in me. There's something attached to me. It's me. I'm the problem. God has to purge me. He said, he didn't say, I will purge your enemies. I will purge your family members. He said, I will purge you. So that's the first thing you have to realize, that it's you. Everybody say, it's me. Okay, now turn to the person next to you. Look at them in the eye. Say, it's me. It's me. You have to realize that. You know, I was with a group of guys, man, and we used to travel around and preach. We used to, you know, a bunch of Christian rappers, too. And what happened was I saw a change in some of their raps. It was like this. You know, one of them, he had braids. They would invite him to perform and to do a Christian rap at the church. And he'll be sitting there. And one of the ministers or whatever would come up to him, not realizing that he's like the guest, the special guest of the evening. And they would ask him, hey, you saved? Hey, are you saved, young man? And that really made him mad. So then we did a song together a while back, and he wrote a verse. He was like, they asked me what's I'm saved because I wear braids. Come down to reality. It's time to break the curse of this religious mentality. And I was like, that's interesting. Kind of true. You know, they kind of judged him by looking at him. But what happened is his attitude started to shift. His songs became more, you know, like, he used to say things like, I'm a rebel. But he was rebelling sort of against the church, you know. And his raps became angry. And he felt like, these people are the enemy. And that's when I saw him sort of turn. Because he started to look at them and say, you know what? They need to be purged. And when he started to do that, and his focus became totally on them, then he started to change. Then before you know it, he wasn't doing Christian rap anymore. He was out doing something else. Why? Because the focus switched. You got to look at yourself. He said, I will purge you. I'm going to prune you. Look what Jesus said in John 15, 9. Wait a minute. No, let's just look at... let's look at Luke, actually. You know what? I didn't put it in there. So you just had to hear me. It's a very familiar verse. Then he said to them all, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see that? It says deny yourself. It's you. Your biggest enemy is you. Man, I wish I would have realized this when I was younger. Because, you know, when you're younger, you know, you think you're fighting for the Lord. And you, man, you know, I'm casting out demons, you know. I'm doing work for the Lord. And I'm here to tear down Satan's kingdom. No, I need to tear down my kingdom. I need to deny myself. It's me. You see here, it says deny yourself. What's holding you back? You. You got to deny yourself. And you have to do this daily. Because you keep coming back with your same old thoughts, your same old arrogant ways every day, day after day. So you have to continue to stay focused. You are the problem. You have to deny yourself. You have to be purged. There's a resurrection that has to happen in you. Because now we're all born in sin, born with a sinful nature. And we're shaped and molded in iniquity. And though we get saved, we still have that same shape and same mold. It's like a Coke bottle. You take a Coke bottle and you stuff it full of dirt. And you just pack it full of dirt. Pack it full of dirt. Right? Now it's full of dirt. Now you leave it out in the sun and it gets hot and it gets hard. And then you come along after a year of that Coke bottle being in the sun. You set it free. You peel back the plastic off of it. You say, now you're free. And if you think about it, it's out of this wrapping. But what does that dirt look like? The Coke bottle. So there's a process. Now, you have to add water to it and break it down and mold it and shape it into another form. That's the life of a Christian. You get saved. You get free, but you still look like the Coke bottle. So God has to mold you and shape you and purge you and get these things out of you and to shape you into his image, because that's why he created you. So this is a process, and this is a ground that God works with you in. What is he doing? Have you been wondering, like, lately, like, man, what's going on with me? I'm tripping. Oh, man, wow. These last 2 weeks or this week, what's going on with me? Weird stuff is taking place. God is purging you. He's pruning you. He's cleaning you. Why? Because you still like the Coke bottle. And he has to make you and shape you into his image, because you bore fruit unto death. And that's the thing that you're used to, doing it your way. Now he got to teach you how to do it his way, how to become submissive to his will, how to bear fruit of life. He said, I planted you. That's in Romans 6. Actually, verse 5, it says, if we have been united. But I think the NIV says, we have been planted. God had to sort of replant you. Plant you so you can be now a bearer of fruit of life. And this is God bringing you back, bringing man back. He has such big plans for man. Created this whole earth. Have dominion over it. Now man is being ruled by the sinful nature. Things got dominion over him. So now Jesus dies for our sins. And now we're baptized into his death. But even though we're baptized into his death, there's a resurrection that has to take place. And this is a resurrection of a new life. What's better? You know, well, I'm not going to say what's better. Because resurrecting and being with the Lord forever is good too. But the real miracle is when a man goes from living his old life to walking in the newness of life. That's the real resurrection. That's the resurrection that can take place. You know, it seemed like when I was younger in the church, we used to all sit around and just wait on heaven. You know, one glad morning when this life is over, you know, I'm going to fly away. But you can fly away right now. You can rise above your circumstances and situations right now. You can walk in the newness of life right now. And this is God's plan. He said, I chose you to bear fruit, to become a different type of tree. And the first thing you had to come to grips with is that you bore fruit of death. You can't say, I was never that bad. You know, I did some things wrong, but I didn't bear any fruit of death. No. Before Christ, you bore fruit of death. And you have to realize that. You can't look back on your life and say, you know what, I wasn't that bad. I never really did anything. No, you were controlled by the sinful nature. And Jesus set you free. And now there's a process of getting you to become something different. One more verse, and we're in here. 2 Corinthians. And this is how the apostle, this is what it looks like when you apply this, when you live it. 2 Corinthians 4, 10 and 11. He said, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So it says, through death, through me denying myself, crucifying myself, denying myself, there's life that comes forth. I don't know if Bryce remembered this, but he said one day, he said, it's not about getting better, but it's about dying. So true. You have to deny yourself. And you know, you can't act like you don't know. You know. When you are rising up and it's not the Lord. And that's the moment. That's the moment when you got to come to grips with who you are and say, Lord, I'm messed up. I need you. I'm nothing without you. Ephesians says we were dead in our sins, not just like half dead. I'm a little messed up, God. Just fix me up a little bit. No, it said we were dead and we need to be resurrected. So the apostle said, I carry around in my body death. Always, I'm not trusting myself so that life may come forth. So my death equals life for others. And you become a person that other people can come and eat from the things of God. They can be around you and they can receive life. So this is the ground. This is the ground of your redemption. If you've been wondering what's going on with you, this is it right here. Purification. There's an abiding. And there's a purification. There's a purging. And this is the process God has taken us all through. And we just got to realize it. Understand it. Embrace it. The fact that we need Jesus. We can't trust ourselves. And then out of that, fruit of life will come. Now I'll stop right there. And we can just have some prayer. If you didn't know anyone.